this morning, we're going to ask you guys what you're thankful for. And honey, I think I'll let you return to your seat for a second.
All right, okay.
And we'll get things kind of going. So you see our little slide here. What are you thankful for? Health, home, family, friends, food? What are you thankful for? This morning is a service that we have called traditionally our thankful service. Our thankful service. And it's a service where we give you an opportunity to give thanks. And it's kind of a little different. I understand that. And for some people, it might make them feel a little bit uncomfortable. I hope it doesn't. Because, gratitude is that sense inside of you of being grateful for something. But thanksgiving is the expression of it. And one of the things that I have seen happening in our families and in our homes is that we get into all the festivities of the holiday, but we forget the heart of it if we're not careful. You know, I can ask you this morning how many of you, and I won't have you raise your hand on this one, but how many of you actually had a time where you expressed thanks? There's a lot of families that just, they're excited about the turkey and they're excited about the dressing and they're excited about football and all the other things, but they forget to actually give thanks. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to give thanks. Let me just kind of prime the pump real quick for you. There's a passage in Luke 17. There's a story that's very interesting. It says, now it happened in verse 11 of Luke 17. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, there met him, passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. And they stood afar off, and they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Isn't it interesting? Just 1/10 of those that received that miracle that day actually expressed their thanks to Jesus. I don't know if that statistic holds, but it might. There's a lot of us that don't ever really take the time to express out of our hearts the gratitude, the gratefulness, the thankfulness that we feel for the blessings that God has given us. Let me give you just a quick little lesson out of the Old Testament about the importance of thanks. There are key words about worship in the Old Testament, and it's interesting that 7 of the 11 major Hebrew words for praise have a consistent theme found in them. Let me see if you can figure out what this theme is. I'm going to tell you the word, and then I'm going to tell you a basic English definition. One of the first is the word todah. Todah, and it means literally a thanksgiving choir, singing thanks to God. The next is barak. And it means to kneel in thanksgiving before God. The next is tehillah, and it means to sing a song of thanksgiving to God. The next is halal. You're familiar with this one. We use the word hallelujah. It means to give thanks by being clamorously foolish. Man, I love that one. I like that one. Then there's the word yada. It means zamar. It means with extended hands, which many of us were doing this morning. Then there's the word zamar. It means to give thanks with a musical instrument. And that's what Joe and Momo were doing this morning. And then there's Shabbat. It means to give thanks in a loud tone, literally to shout it out. How many of you noticed a common theme in those 7 Hebrew words for praise? It's the word thanks, giving thanks, expressing thanks. Is thanks that's not expressed truly thanks? Would you ever get a gift and go to the challenge of wrapping it? My son recently wanted a wrapped gift to give to his girlfriend. He, you know, at times would just kind of take her a gift and the bag he bought it in, and he's like, you know, she appreciates presentation. So, you know, we thought he was going to wrap the gift. Mama ended up wrapping it, but I think he ended up claiming it. You know, look at the gift I wrapped. And I think she saw through that. I bet your mom wrapped that, actually. But anyway, how many would go to the trouble of wrapping a gift and then never giving the gift? You wouldn't do that. It's the same concept of having gratitude in our hearts but never expressing it. One of the things for me that's just been really, really helpful in my own personal life is recognizing, taking the time, I talk about this from time to time, having a gratitude journal where literally every day you're just stopping at some point, maybe during your devotion time, and you're writing down three things you're grateful for. I heard a quote this past year, and it stuck with me all through the year, that when gratitude begins, that's when the struggle ends. When gratitude begins, that's when the struggle ends. Because when you begin to express thanks and be grateful for the good things that God has blessed you with, it's amazing how all the negatives begin to kind of be dissipated. All the challenges begin to be minimized. You know, that someone said, you know, what's the key to having everything? Believing that you already do. Believing that you already do. How, you know, the honest truth is we are so blessed. We're incredibly blessed. I had the question yesterday. We had a little questions and, you know, what's one of your most memorable Thanksgivings? And I had a Thanksgiving where I was in Cuba. We had snuck into the country and we were doing evangelism and it was risky at the time and there was a good chance we'd be thrown out, and we were there over Thanksgiving, and there was a small group of us, and we were at a kind of a large gathering, and I remember one of our team members said, hey, I have something special for us tonight, and we kind of gathered over in the corner in the midst of this big group of people, and just the few of us who were from America, we had one little can of potted turkey and one little sleeve of like Ritz crackers. And we just took a few minutes, and everybody got one little cracker with one little piece of turkey on it, and we ate it together in thanksgiving to God. I remember being in Mexico City at one point. We were there one time on Christmas and Christmas Eve, and one of the people we were working with took me and showed me there in the streets of Mexico City the manhole covers where several of the street children were living underneath these covers just to keep warm. I was speaking this past week to our kids here in our chapel and just reminding them, you are so blessed, you don't even know it. You're so blessed and you don't even realize it. I remember being with Tracy in the midst of a garbage dump where over 3,000 people were living in the midst of this garbage dump. And every day, their sole way of making a living was to literally root through the garbage. And oftentimes getting cut by the glass, getting burned by the spontaneous combustion, but they were trying to find recyclables, and they would take them out and dry them in the sun and sell them for just a little bit of money to try to somehow feed their family. You have so much to be thankful for. I have so much to be thankful for. The fact that we have liberty and freedom to be able to express our thanks to God. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I got to read you one thing I always read on Thanksgiving because for me it's one of the most powerful reminders. It's called Thankful for the Fleas. And then we're going to move the pulpit down and set things up and give you an opportunity. So we're going to have a line on this side and a line on this side. And you come and listen, the one thing I would ask is keep it short. 1 minute or less, okay, because I want to give everybody who wants to come the opportunity. By the way, we are recording and going Facebook Live, so I hope you're okay with that. Last week we had 175 views. Isn't that awesome? That's pretty cool. You guys awake today? Come on, somebody say amen. That is cool. Let me read this to you. This is so powerful. The barracks where Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were kept in the Nazi concentration camp Ravensbrück were terribly overcrowded and flea infested. They'd been able to miraculously smuggle a Bible into the camp, and in that Bible they'd read that in all things they were to give thanks. Here's that scripture, by the way, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In all things, they were to give thanks. And that God can use anything. He can turn it around. He can work through it. He doesn't bring everything, but he takes everything and he turns it around for the good of his kids who love him and who want to serve him and want to please him. Corey's sister Betsy decided that this meant thanking God for the fleas that infested their barracks. This was too much for Corey, who said she could do no such thing. But Betsy insisted. So finally, Corey gave in and prayed to God and said, God, thank you, even for the fleas. Over the next several months, a wonderful but curious thing began to happen. They found that the guards never entered their barracks. This meant that the women were not assaulted. It also meant that they were able to do the unthinkable, which was to hold open Bible studies and prayer meetings in the heart of a Nazi concentration camp. Through this, countless numbers of women came to faith in Christ. Only at the end did they discover why the guards had left them alone and would not enter into their barracks. It was because of the fleas. This Thanksgiving, give thanks to God for every good and perfect gift, but also thank him for how he will use all things for good in the lives of those who trust him. Amen. So I'm going to turn it to you. This is Thankful Sunday. If you'd like to share something this morning, please feel free to do that. Please keep it short so that we can all have the opportunity that want to. Glenn, I'll let you grab that if you don't mind. And help get us set up. So if you'll stand, everybody stand for just a moment, please. And those on this side, if you'll make a line over here. Those on this side, if you'll make a line over there. And we'll switch off one after the other, okay? So we'll start on this side. Gina looks like she's ready to go. So come on. Oh, no. Craig, you look like you're ready to go. Come on up. You can start us out. And Winnie, you can come with him if you like. Okay, everybody else sit down. Okay, we got three people testifying. I think there's going to be more, but hallelujah, it's going to be good. Have a little towel up here just so when you set the microphone down, it won't go clink. No, it wasn't for you to wipe your... Well, anyway, that's okay. All right, God bless you guys.
I just want to say I'm very thankful for being in the men's group and growing in Christ in that way, and I'm thankful for the revelation that God has given me through being in that group, but and also the revelation of just knowing him, knowing God through trials and tribulations.
Amen. Hello. All right. I am thankful for my job, that this is my second year being teaching graphic design in Sullivan University, and I didn't know that God put me there for not just teaching art and graphic design in general, but ministering the students. You know, one of my students, she's failing my class, and she will come for a couple weeks, and then she just disappear, or sometimes she will come an hour later. You know, it's like, okay. And then the worst thing is she didn't turn in her project. So she's got a fat zero for all the projects, right? So she... Well, I went to the point that she's gonna fail my class. So I went to the registrar, and she just the registrar asked her, saying, "Why are you here? You know, I mean, she failed all the classes last quarter, and now, you know, already failed two, and then my class will be the third." So I just look at her, and then I say, "I will give her another chance. Please put her back in my class." So she did. We came back to the class, and I told the whole class, I say, "Would you guys support her? Make sure she will pass this class." And then one volunteer said to her. And I just said, "You are beautiful, you are smart, you're talented. All the projects you turn in, you got a good grade. You can get this done." She started just weeping. So I feel the Lord put me in there just not only teaching-wise, but also I want to change her life. You know what I mean? She failed all the classes before, and what is she going to do for the rest of her life? If this is not her turning point, that she can win her confidence, say, "I can do this." So she traveled back home. She's been emailing me all her projects. I'm proud of this young lady because I feel I speak life to her she's getting this done. And I'm really thankful for that, for the opportunity.
I think we're just thankful for the New Song family. We joined a little over a year ago, and you guys have really made us feel very welcome here, and we love it here. And I'm also thankful for my wife.
Good morning. I'm thankful this morning to be back. We missed the last 2 weeks here at New Song to be at other churches. But for this year, I just want to give glory to God for bringing me through a very, very difficult year. I guess my new year started around the end of August this year because the first more than half of the year was very, very difficult. Some trauma and losses and just very difficult. So I just want to give God the glory for bringing me through that and strengthening me in my inner man and giving me courage that now, after being through the first 7 months of the year through all the things, when I'm faced with opportunities to be anxious or fearful, He's letting me be strong, and I feel after each little battle that I'm facing now, after the huge battles that I've been through earlier this year, that I can sense His presence in my soul and feel Him strengthening me and encouraging me and His Spirit just bolstering me, and I just feel like I'm getting stronger again, and I praise Him for that.
All right, so I am thankful for, I feel like it sounds kind of cliche, but like thankful for Jesus. And specifically because like, this last week, I was reading Hebrews, and it was just like hitting me that God is so relational, and there's no other God like Him, like that would come and be with people and be like made a human and then die for His people, like so selfless. And I was just like, dang, that is so cool.
Good morning. Gary and I had our first grandbaby this year, which I'm thankful for. But the things that I'm learning about God through her are just, I'm thankful for that. I was holding her a few days ago. She was asleep right here. You know, oh my gosh, she's 2 months old. And just the depth of affection and enjoyment that I felt for her was so deep. I mean, I just that feeling. And all of a sudden, I felt like God said, that's how I feel about you. I feel that much enjoyment and deep love for you, the way you feel about this baby, even though she's not perfect. Sometimes she's smelly, sometimes she's crying, you know, different things. But I just, there's nothing I wouldn't give her or do for her. And just to realize that that's how affectionate God is toward us, that He wants to hold us. He gets enjoyment out of that. There's nothing He wouldn't give us or do for us in that feeling. So I was just so grateful for that revelation from God of, oh my gosh, that's how you feel that much, that deeply. So I want to encourage you all to be the baby and let God hold you, that He gets great enjoyment out of that and wants to lavish that depth of affection and care on you. So I'm thankful for that.
It's so cool. God just really set me up for, with what Mona said, for something that He put on my heart to share. I'm really thankful. Craig mentioned just God getting us through the trials and tribulations. I don't think any of us are like, yeah, persecution, trial, tribulation, send it my way. But honestly, on the other end of it, we can say, well, I'm so thankful for that. And one of the things in that is the nearness of God. I'm really thankful for how near the Lord has been. We've had a year of great joy and great seeing promises fulfilled. But we've also had a lot of hard things as well. But in the midst of that, we've seen the Lord just be faithful to his promises, faithful to who he is, trustworthy, even when we don't know the outcome of things. And there's this small testimony that this morning, like in worship, I felt like the Lord was like, Heather, share. And I didn't. Would it be okay if I share a quick? Mona said, you know, hold on. The Lord, when we lost a baby, and in that process, the night I was miscarrying, the Lord came to me in a dream and a vision. And in that that night, I was really scared before I went to sleep. I didn't know what was happening. I cried out to the Lord. I said, God, I need you. I'm afraid. I need you to, like, tangibly be here with me. And I remember, like, crying, and I left my hand open and said, God, would you please hold my hand? I'm really scared. Well, I dozed off to sleep, and before I knew it, Jesus was in front of me, and I saw him, and I saw him from the side, and I was like, the first thing I said to him was, Jesus, you really are just an ordinary man. You really just look like it says in the word that we wouldn't recognize you. And then he this was a side profile. Then he turned face to face to me, and he said, Heather, hold on to me. And in that moment, I started to reach out for him and reach out for his face. And he had a beard, and it was like, kind of like Joe's. It was like kind of that mid-length, you know, and he's like, hold on. Well, as I reached my hands out to hold on to him, I'd started to put my fingers in his beard to hold on because it was a struggle. He was so close, but it's like I couldn't quite grab him. And so I was struggling to grab, and I grabbed, and my fingernails and nails went in his beard, and I stopped real quick. I said, oh, Jesus, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. He's like, Heather, don't let go. Don't worry about hurting me. Just hold on. And in that moment, I reached out again, held on, dug into his cheeks with my fingers, held on. And when I could lock in, I locked eyes with him. And instantly, three flashes came. The first flash was fire. There was just, his eyes were filled with fire. Then it flashed again. Then it was the Lion of Judah roaring in his eyes. Then the third flash, I saw peace and comfort. We sang about that this morning. I saw peace and comfort. And it was something that transcended emotion. It was a place. And so I share that just today to say I'm so thankful for the nearness of God. That dream ended with that whole message of hold on to him. And so I encourage all of us just to be thankful for whatever comes our way and hold on.
I tried to talk Nick into going before me. He didn't want to. In a minute, it's kind of tough to list everything that I'm thankful for, even just this year. You know, every year we have, my wife will have a health crisis of some type. Each year, you know, it seems routine, and then there's that one or two days where it's like, okay, God, this is supposed to be routine, it's supposed to work out all right, what's going to happen now, you know? And it's like this prep for, you know, getting ready for the worst or whether it's the best, you know, depending on how you look at it for, you know, spiritual side of life, and, but then it works through, so I've had that this year, and I had the And that was the typical of the atypical. And then I went through some real hardships, you know, with work and whatnot. Some really, really big challenges career-wise and work-wise where people weren't really bringing the fun to dysfunctional and made it through that, you know. I finished my Bachelor of Science in Nursing, which was a big, big deal for me. And it wasn't me, really, that could do it because, you know, it takes me a lot longer than a minute to talk. Well, it takes me a lot longer than a minute to read and write and do the coursework that I needed to do, given the time that they gave me to do it. So that's a real big deal, and it's a big deal to go from, you know, 1 to 3 hours sleep a night to a good night's sleep and good night's rest, and to be able to work through the hardships and what that does. I mean, I wasn't thankful for it at the time. I'll be honest with all of y'all. But it was when I could turn to an attitude of gratitude that it was the beginning of the end of the hard times. You know, it wasn't the end of it, and it still ain't the end of it. You know, the troubles are still going to come. Next year is going to have more challenges. It's going to be financially difficult. It's going to be vocationally difficult. It's going to be a hard time. But one thing I have found over the last 10 years, and this is a really big deal for me. When I came to New Song, I was a different person spiritually than I am now. You know, and my faith was different. It was old school. You know, pretty much the Baptist, Methodist background. You know, for very conservative Christianity. But I literally have new songs for my life. I mean, I've turned all the crap that I used to listen to, and I wrote new songs. I'm not kidding. And, you know, there is a big, big difference between a spirit of praise, a song of praise, versus gloom and doom. And there's something when we speak life, how life happens versus death. You know, to me, that's a big deal. And I think to God it's a big deal. And, I mean, I really feel Him in my life these days. I feel like I'm having a conversation to people. And, you know, I tell people I'm talking to myself all the time, so they won't think I'm crazy for talking to God. And the thing about it is, I really don't care, because I'd rather be crazy than in an insane society than normal. And I think, you know, that's where we're at. But if we focus on that, that's going to bring us down. It's focusing on what is the next right thing, where God is at, and what we're going to do, and trying to keep 10 years worth of praise and thankfulness to 1 or 2 minutes. That's a challenge. So I'll pass on. Thank you.
Yeah, so for me, I'm just really thankful for the call to missions on my life, the immediate call. I mean, we are all called to missions, and the mission field is where our feet are, whether that's your work, your home, your family, anything like that. But the ability to travel like Heather and I do, you know, I had a normal job doing granite work before we got called into missions and everything like that. And every now and then, there could be this slight little inkling to look back on that and say, what if? Cody, say it isn't so. Yeah, sometimes I look at that and I'm just like, what if I had a normal job? But then I remember, no, what I'm doing is a choice that the Lord has made and said that you get to. You know, we understand that God spoke things into, and they were. And He could do the very same thing for us here. He could speak things into, and it could be. But then He chooses to use us. He chooses to redeem people and use broken vessels. And a lot of times, you know, back in my past life before the Lord redeemed me, every now and then I would read the Bible and stuff and look at the disciples, and they look like saints to me. And now I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm like, oh, man, they didn't get it. They still didn't get it, chapter after chapter. And it's like, oh, my goodness, how have they not gotten this by now? And suddenly, I don't feel so bad, but I am so thankful for the opportunity to be able to travel and tell people about not only what the Lord has done in my life, but what He can do in their life, and the missions and what God has called me and my family to. Amen. So.
So I'm really thankful with God's provision on my application to YWAM. So I am a little bit of a procrastinator in a couple different ways. But yeah, every step of the way through an application process, I kept thinking, and it was in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, you're doing it too slow, you didn't do this fast enough, you got to do more time so everything gets through. But no, God was, He provided really well for me, and just every step of the way, everything was smooth. I just had to get it done, and it was done. It was actually really funny because when I did my visa process, I spent like maybe 5 hours over a couple different days doing the visa process, and then I sent it in, and I stood up from my chair, and I went and grabbed some snacks, and then I looked at my phone, and there are 4 emails on my phone. The first one was, "Hey, we got your application, just to let you know." The second one was, "Hey, we approved your application." I was like, "Did you, like, look at anything I just did?" But I was like, "I suppose I shouldn't complain. It's good. I don't complain at all." But yeah, so I'll go into Australia in January, and I'm super thankful.
How can I not get up here and give thanks to the Lord for all he's done in my life? This year has been a year of, once again, great transition in my family with my mother and health problems and some other cognitive issues, which at the end of the day has come to her moving to an assisted living facility. And basically clearing out her house and what was her life for years and years. I found myself at times looking up to God and saying, "What were you thinking again? You've got me here again doing this." But seeing the small things and being grateful for the small things, the people he brings into our life to shepherd us through this process, to bring comfort to her mind and to the family. I also want to lift my hands in gratitude and thankfulness. 2 weeks ago, my granddaughter was involved in a wreck where she totaled her car. And my brother was up from Florida, and we were driving down Flat Rock Road. He was following me, and we came upon the wreck. Heather was already there, her mother. The car was totaled, but here's what the scary part was. The airbags did not deploy at all. The brakes locked up. The entire front of the car was demolished. She walked away, people. Without a scratch, she walked away. And I just want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ for his hand of protection upon her. His hand of protection was there. And our whole family is grateful that she walked away with just a few little bruises. But I'm just thankful for that.
I am thankful for my big family that I spent my Thanksgiving with, where there's like 60-something people that we all just get together and have fun and just argue and fight, but it's all in love. And so we always just get together on the big holidays that we celebrate together, and it's always so fun to be with them. They're always so nice, and I really am thankful for the big family that they are and that how they love me so.
I'm thankful for technology, and I'm thankful for new stuff. I'm thankful for growth. I'm thankful for leaders that will mentor me, care for me, love me, sometimes correct me, sometimes praise me. I'm thankful for my wife, thankful for my health. My gosh, my list could go on. But this year there's been two things that have really, really affected me. And one of those is in 2 little girls that are in the academy. One of them, both of them, lots of anxiety coming into the new class. One of them, nearly every time she changes where she's at, she's crying because she couldn't handle that transition. And so every day at recess, I would see her come in from lunch just weeping. And then it would be most of the time through. And then as she would leave, just weeping. And so then, you know, I started noticing this, and I would ask a lot of times there's a mother that's helping me with recess. I would ask them to help out because you mothers are typically a lot more gentle than us guys. Well, then I found out that her situation was that there were no men in her life. And I went, well, that's wow, that could explain something of it. And so the next time I ended up not having a mother with me, so it was me, and I loved on her through that 25 minutes. And as she left, she still cried. But then the next one, she didn't cry near as much. She settled down a lot faster. And then the next one, she was kind of whimpering a little bit, but there was no tears. And then she colored and she interacted with others. And then as she left, there were no tears. And I'm just like, oh, wow. And another one came in and she wanted to just hang by the back door here. She didn't want to play. She didn't want to get with other people. And I said, hey, why don't we go out here and meet some friends? Yeah, you know. And so I introduced her to some people. And now she'll come out and she'll be playing. And I'm like, that's good. So I'm thankful for that because, Heather, you hit it. It's this relationship. It's a fatherly figure just loving on a kid. It doesn't hurt that they're crazy cute. The second one, we were in a staff meeting, and I hope this isn't a secret we're not supposed to share, but on birthdays, we have times of blessing for everybody. And so we all come with a word that we've prayed for the individual. And it was Carla's birthday. And God had given me a word, and I gave it to her. And she said, do you know I've received that exact word, same wording, 3 times now. And it's amazing because I've asked God for these things, for this effectiveness, for his communion, his connection, that I could walk in such communion that day in and day out I could have this just relationship with him, right? This yes. Just, hey, God, how you doing? We're just talking. Good. Did you like the game? I don't know. I didn't either. But just have this thing. So then I heard this story, the story about George Mueller, and he was considering building an orphanage. And of course, he wasn't a man of much resources. So then he had this meeting, and he had one volunteer, and he received about 12 shekels compared to, oh my gosh, how much do you need to build a building with? That's about $42 in today's time. Today you would need millions of dollars to build an orphanage, right? But just that little bit. And in the sermon that I heard, the speaker said, the penny's worth of confirmation is worth way more than actually receiving the promise. The penny's worth of confirmation says, I hear you, but you're not there yet. I'm taking you there. I'm gonna fulfill the promise. And so when Carla said that, that was my penny's worth of confirmation. Yes, you hear from me, Glenn. And I'm going to keep talking to you, and we're going to get there, buddy. Just keep holding on. I love that.
Well, I am thankful for a lot, but I think the thing that I'm most thankful for is that God made us warriors. And in a culture of fear, he's given us the power to speak life or death to people. And I'm just reminded all the time that we have victory over that. And he has made us strong. And we get the privilege to be his warriors. So that's what I'm thankful for.
All right. Well, I just was convicted as I was sitting back there. I'm thankful for the things that are easy to be thankful for, like that I graduated nursing school and I have a new job in the NICU. I'm thankful for that, and that's one of those things that are, you know, that's easy to be thankful for. But I'm also, I read those articles that it's like being thankful for your season of singleness, and I roll my eyes every time. Like, this is so dumb. You don't understand. But I just, as Heather was sharing about that nearness, being near the Lord, I just felt like there's a reason, you know, for this part that's hard. Yeah. And that's just for me to become nearer to the Lord and have that strong foundation of reaching out to him and holding on to him instead of someone else. So that's what I'm thankful for.
I'm thankful that God gave us the gift of worship. This morning when Suzanne and Joe and the team were singing that Jason Upton song, this is the first and only church I've ever heard Jason Upton sung in worship. But it brought me back to a season, as we've heard several testimonies of, that God often calls us into a season of fire in these trials. And when we walk through these trials, it is worship that takes us through those circumstances. I've always been brought back to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were called into their fire, into their trial. And, of course, when they were called in there, that's where Jesus was. And that you know that they could not walk through that fire in the presence of our Savior and not be worshiping. They were certainly worshiping in the midst of that fire. But to me, the best part of that story, the absolute best part of that story, is that that fire doesn't have to define us. Those circumstances, those events that we go through don't have to define us. That when they came out of that fire with worship, there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. And that's where I think, you know, we can take heart that, you know, we don't have to be defined by these things that we've gone through, because we've all gone through them. And I know, you know, for me, it was the most heartbreaking, you know, most difficult thing I've ever walked through in my life. And I've never really talked about it. But at the same time, I don't have to smell like it. You know, it doesn't have to be on me. And so when we're in this body of believers, we don't have to have all that smoky stuff on us, because God burned it all away. Amen. Including the smell, the smoke.
Wow. Good
morning. I was just thinking that.
Oh, come on.
I was just thinking, I don't know if I've ever been faithful enough to get up and do this on a Thanksgiving morning, so it's fun to do that. I'm just grateful. God is so good, and the last year and a half was really a struggle, and before we left here, and I don't want to cry. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, it was hard, and I'm grateful to so many who walked that out with me here, and now for a new season. I'm grateful for new seasons, and John and I have just been able to really enjoy being together, and it's been a really a healing time. Very good. And a time I was dreading, we're empty nesters now, and that's just weird, you know, but it's been good. It's been really, really good. And we're in a new place. I recommend this, by the way. If you're a new empty nesters, it's good. Go move somewhere that you can just explore, you know. It's all new. Yeah, it's a good thing to do. Yeah. New England is very different, and it's culturally just very anti-Christ in a lot of ways, but it's cool because that your light shines that much brighter, you know. And I've had people say, there's just something about you. I've had, you know, at work, and people are like, there's just something about you. And I'm like, it's Jesus. It's just Jesus. So I feel like we should, you know. So that's pretty cool. And I'm also very thankful for technology, because I'm very far from my grandchildren, and that's not, I don't like that, but FaceTime is awesome. So, yes, we love you all. We miss you very much. But God's got us there for a reason. And we have an awesome, awesome church. I'm very thankful for the body of Christ that surpasses. You know, we just slid right in, and we are being loved well and loving well there. And so we're very, very grateful. So, love you all.
Hello there. I'll be honest and tell you, this has been an amazing year for me. I couldn't even begin to list the things that I'm thankful for in this year. But something that continues to resonate, and it's interesting to me that Psalm 107 is on the wall. The Lord's taken me back to that on many occasions. And if you read through the entirety of 107, it says on three different occasions, God's people got themselves in a mess. They cried out to him in their distress, and he faithfully showed up and rescued them. And we have to cling to that. Continue to cry out to God. He is faithful. He will come and he will rescue us again. And it's been a year of change for me, and change is not easy for people. Most of you probably know that I left full-time employment this year and went back to school at 51 full-time, and it has been a challenge. And it has been exciting, and it has been incredibly fulfilling. And I feel like finally I'm where I'm supposed to be in life. This is the moment that God called me to. And I cannot wait to get to the end of this to begin yet the new season that he brings. So I'm just saying this, is that don't be afraid of the change. And when the change comes, embrace it. And if we'll listen in and lean in, he'll prepare us even for the season of change. It's who he is. He's faithful to do those things. It's been many, many new things this year. God has faithfully met me in each one of those and helped me through the process. I'm thankful for my beautiful grandchildren. I have two now. It's an awesome, awesome blessing. If you don't have grandchildren, I encourage you to go get some. So I love my family. I'm thankful that I've gotten to spend a year studying under the staff here. It's been an amazing blessing. I've learned so much. And I look forward to each and every new staff meeting. I know it sounds crazy. Who wants to sit in a six-hour meeting? I do. You know, so just embrace the change, folks. That's really what I wanted to say. And be thankful. He is faithful, and he will meet you each and every time.
I don't want to be last, so if somebody else could get up, that'd be great. Anyhow, so a lot of things that I'm thankful for this year. This year for me was a year of some of the highest highs that I've ever had, and simultaneously some of the lowest lows. And it was a weird year because they literally ran parallel to one another through the year. And we had so many challenges. Wes had C. diff twice. Nate was in the ER with heart something we didn't know. Like, we literally went through so many things. Byron had a couple trips to the ER, but they were less serious. But we had all these things that happened that were pretty big events that were terrifying as a parent when you're watching your kids go through things. And at the same time, the dance ministry has taken on a whole new chapter where we had so much provision and so many people come in and so much support, and a lot of that support was from a lot of people here. And I'm literally watching the high highs and the low lows like parallel with each other, and it was really an interesting season. And it was interesting, in the high highs, so many easy things to be thankful for. Like, in the moment, it's so easy to be thankful for all those good things. Like Sarah said, there's the obvious things. Thank you, Lord, for the provision here and here and here and here and here. But it was interesting because it was actually in the lows where really being intentional, Lord, where are you in this? And I'm thankful that he doesn't waste pain. And I'm thankful that he took every event that we walked through and taught me something. In every single thing that we walked through and I'm terrified as a parent, and God's like, yeah, like, I feel like this. I feel some of these same things that you feel in some of those relational things that I had walked through this year. Yep, I felt that too. And that verse in Hebrews that said we have a great high priest who understands, and that verse took on all new meaning for me in every single deep, hard area for me. And then the other thing that I'm thankful for, to tag on to Nathan talking about my big, gigantic family that we're thankful for, yes, I am blessed. I have a big, gigantic family. We're close. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. Sometimes, you know, but we know we've got each other's back. And I've told the staff this several times, but reiterating it here, my family, the biological family, super thankful. But I said, this is the family that I got to pick. Like, the church family here, this is the big, giant, crazy family that I got to choose. And so they're, you know, and I love, everybody's got different personalities, and you start talking to everybody, and you see everybody's unique tendencies, and you see all those things. And when you're real with people, you see the good, you see the bad, you see all those things as you really do life. But I'm thankful that this is a place where you can do life, where you really can do life. You, sometimes people are messy, sometimes, you know, but at the end of the day, I really do believe that people here have each other's backs. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that this is the big, crazy family that I got to pick. So.
Hello. I'm pretty new here. This is pretty scary. my name is Karen. This has been one of the most difficult years of my entire life. And what I'm finding is that I am in a whole new era with God. My era with God is where I've left off myself, and I'm relying completely and 100% on Him. I have spent my life in straining and striving for everything. And now I'm just going with it. and so I want to say this. At the beginning of the year, the Lord gave me a vision. And you had mentioned when the Lord is in the boat with you. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to say this. So what the vision was that I was in it was a small boat, like a fishing boat, and I had my arms, like I'm tucked into the boat, and my arms are like this on the boat, and I'm holding on with dear life. And it's an extremely stormy. It's an ocean. It is huge. The storm is just raging around me. And there's a lighthouse really, really far in the distance. But who's behind me is the Lord. And Jesus is standing in the boat behind me. And I'm tucked down. And I knew that what the Lord was saying to me is that this is going to be a really long journey. But I've got your back. I've got you covered. I'm with you in the boat. And that's the lighthouse being so far away, I knew it was going to take a long time to get there. and then another thing that the Lord gave me too was, and this was just so cool, was that I just one morning I cried out to him and I was, Lord, I need something quick and I need something from you right now. And I opened up to Psalm 81. And this is all I read, and this is all I needed. Now I will relieve your shoulder of its burden. I will free your hands from your heavy tasks. You cried to me in trouble, and I saved you. I answered you out of the thundercloud. Wow. And, of course, I just broke down in tears because I was like, oh, thank you, God. But I just want to say that I am so thankful for you guys, and the more I come here, the more I meet you guys, and the more I get to know you guys, and you are so real and so beautiful, and I'm just so thankful. I'm also so thankful for my family, and I want to say I'm so thankful for my new boyfriend because he is rocking my world. Thank you.
Isaac wanted me to come up here, but I've been wanting to come up here. I put things off. I'm a procrastinator. Isaac wanted me to say he's thankful for Minecraft.
All right.
Yeah, very, very creative. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for my eternal family. I'll be seeing a lot of you all for the rest of my eternal life, too. So I'm thankful that when I go, my parents will be there to greet me. You know? I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm a sap. I'm 50. Hey, deal with it. I'm thankful that we have opportunities to step out, see the Lord work, do things that other people look at you and go, what are you doing? We put our house on the market. I don't have a job to go to, right? We're moving to Florida. When? I don't know. But God's timing is perfect. His path is perfect. He's going to work it out. And when he does, it could be tomorrow, it could be next year, I don't know. But God has this, right? Every step of the way, he's got this. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my family, for these boys, for my wife. I'm thankful that I'm forgiven by my wife and by the Lord, you know. Just so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for the opportunity just to be able to breathe. As the song said this morning, breathe, you know. I was breathing, and I was thanking the Lord for every breath I took in to sing more. You know, thankful for making it through cancer. I'm not going to make it long, but thank you, Jesus. You want to say what you're thankful for? Anything else? No, he's thankful for our dog, too, I'm sure. Thank you all.
Okay, so I haven't attended regularly for 10 years, but I've always considered this my home church when I'm in Louisville. Yeah, Ron, it's so good to see you. And I just want to give testimony to what God did, or the fruit, rather, of what God did from people praying for my daughter and I when we were here. So I went through a hellacious custody battle, and I wrote down the families who prayed because I want to tell you how much, just to let you know the fruit that came from your prayers. So the Acarmas, the Pogues, the Turnells, the Broadbacks, Dupins, Shanks, Hansons, Tominies, Moores, Dawn, and I hope I didn't miss anybody. I'm so sorry if I did. But the fruit of it is I had gone through some circumstances, and it was imperative that I get custody of my daughter. And the battle, the custody battle, it was a battle, ensued for 2.5 years. And I told Pastor Jeff, I swear there was like a line somewhere in the carpet that I own. Because every Sunday I was like, oh, I got to go forward for prayer again. You know, I felt like I blew up the prayer circuit. But 2 years ago, we went to the West Indies for ministry and for mission work. And my daughter got up in front of 300 people and spoke about the circumstances that you prayed she would one day minister out of. So we not only got full custody, but the Lord took custody as her father and has worked things amazingly because specifically people prayed not only for custody but for her future. And I just wanted to let you know that it is amazing. And secondly, Sarah, I'm just crying to back you up. They're not really crying about being single, I promise. But actually, the thing I was going to give the Lord thanks for personally, I'm so thankful I'm single, and I have been for 17 years after marriage, and the reason is because I've come to know him in a way that, hate to disappoint you if you're married, I truly believe you can only come to know him if you're single. Ish means husband, and, you know, he told me recently, I was like, well, you know, you show me so many things so often, and he said, well, when two people are married, you talk, so it's not one-ended, and as my daughter, I read what she wrote for a college application about her relationship with the Lord, and she knows him as Father. And I just want to encourage those of you who are going through something that you don't get to know him as Jehovah Jireh until you've been in need. You don't get to know him as Jehovah Rapha until you need healing. You don't get to know him as Yahweh Sabaoth, Lord of angel armies, until you're in a war and you need him to battle for you. Or Megan, the strong tower, until you're in a weakened position. So I am so thankful for the prayers that surrounded us. And last week when I was here, I couldn't run here fast enough to come to the altar whole. And because I was always so broken. And I truly didn't know if I would, I knew I would worship him forever, but I didn't know if I'd ever be whole again. So thank you to the families who prayed.
Lots of great testimonies. Can we give one more just good hand of appreciation for all those wonderful words? I hope they were an encouragement to you. Let's all stand together. We're going to go ahead and dismiss you today. Thanks for coming and being a part today. Let me pray over you. Lord, go with us now. And God, just use each and every one of us, Lord, as a thankful person who faithfully proclaims your goodness to all those around us. Go with us now. Let your light shine upon us. Let your blessing be upon us as your people in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a great day.